does thought go to the guff? Well, unrealized thought goes to the guff.
Right, good.
Is what we call the soul man or soulish man, which doesn't go to the guff, is that what one does when you're asked to project? Do you engage the soul man?
No. It's all non-physical.
What is? Astral projection?
Astral projection.
Well, the soul man is not non-physical.
Right.
It's created by physical.
It's the residue left over after non-physical gets done with it.
After non-physical drops it and moves on. So that's why the soul man doesn't go to the guff. It's not...
Yeah.
Not non-physical.
I'm a soul man. That's what that was about.
Who sang that? James Brown?
Mm-hmm.
It was about his riff writing?
Mm-hmm.
But it would be the non-physical that did the riff writing.
Right, but he was saying that if you listen to the song Soul Man, that's the part that was left over.
From non-physical world travel.
Mm-hmm.
So the soul man is the leftover part.
Right.
Mm. So astral projection is non-physical action.
Yeah, good.
Astral projection, though, Ian said a long time ago, is more in the mind. It's not meat sack movement.
That's right. That's why I call it astral projection. Otherwise, you could take your meat sack with you. And then that wouldn't be astral projection. Right. It would be earthly projection.
So I have here chicken shell yolk. And I don't know if this was said in the session. Chicken equals non-physical. Shell equals soul. Yolk equals physical. Ian pointed that out, right? Right.
Yeah.
You have chicken, non-physical. Yolk is physical. The labyrinth of the mind is left out.
The labyrinth of the mind is what makes you question how you can have a chicken without an egg or an egg without a chicken. You don't need the labyrinth of your mind, Bob. It's not required.
I thought that was a condition of being in the physical.
No, there's a lot of mindless human in the physical beings.
Is the mind necessary for creativity?
No. It's all it's good for is contrast.
But we come here to have contrast, so that's why we have a mind.
There you go. There you go. It's only looking for a reason.
So
why we have to twirl.
So the mind is there for contrast.
It's the standard that you use to gauge how happy or unhappy you are based on your past happiness or your fear of future happiness. It's a regulator. It confounds you. It makes you happy. It makes you sad. It makes you horny. It makes you mad. It makes you emote. It makes you do all kinds of crazy things.
We created it so we could have contrast in the physical. Now, what is the mind made up of?
Carolyn says it's fat.
It's made up of fat.
We say it's shades of gray, because we say it's gray matter.
But tracks?
It's matter or antimatter, it's gray matter.
Did you say it's neither?
Correct.
Can we use gray as that in-between place? It's in-between matter.
Yeah, that's the point.
It's the tactile interval, in that sense.
Oh, joy, yes.
And it's contrasting.
Of the android meme.
Yeah, because the mind, tactility is contrast. The mind creates contrast. So tactility, contrast, and mind go together.
Yeah. But to have a tactile experience doesn't necessarily have to confound. It can't just be giving your point of dreathers. I'd rather have vanilla than chocolate.
That's sort of like the function of tactility. That's just the function of contrast.
Good. That's right. That's what we want to bring in because that does interplay, but it's not what it's all about. So fair enough. Good enough. That's the facto of if so.
The laying of tracks, is that what we called it?
Conduit.
The conduits. That's one part of the mind. Then there's the gray matter.
Where the conduit lane.
Where the conduit is lane.
Uh-huh.
And what would be a third factor?
What's inside the conduit.
And what is that? Thought?
Thought itself. Raw thought.
So thought is part of the mind.
Certainly. It's what it runs through. It's what it's laid in.
Wait, which is it? Is the thought?
Bob, remember when we were talking about the water line or the sewage line in the ground? The ground is the mind, but the water running through the pipe is not the mind. It's what runs through it. And the pipe is the conduit that's laid in the ground. That's what that is. The water's not the ground. the thought's not the mind any more than the mind is the thought.
You mix it up. I'm just starting to get back to the map. You have the pipe, which is the conduits.
Yes.
The water is the thought.
Yes.
It goes through the pipe. And the ground is the gray matter.
Yes, what the pipe's laid in. Good.
Thought is going through the pipe, going through the conduits.
Yes, I had a thought, Bob. It went through my mind. Did you get that? Humans say, I had a thought. I had something run through my mind. I was running a thought through my mind.
Right, they say
or
that.
It crossed my mind.
Yeah, it's moving.
It went from one side to the other. Good, the thought did. The gray matter didn't. I had gray matter in my mind. You don't say that.
No, it's a thought.
You know, I had an interesting gray matter in my mind. It was so interesting. It was gray, and it was matter.
Shut up.
But
okay, we got that. Okay, we're trying. It's almost like you're purposely going on a rant right when I'm going to get a point here.
Well,
okay.
We were hoping there was one there.
Now, back to what you had said when you're first laying out the pipe metaphor, and I didn't get it. Can you replay? Probably can't replay
that.
Yeah,
I can't.
About the mind is the thought.
44,000 times. We'll do it 45,001. It's okay.
Okay, let's hear it.
The earth is the mind.
The earth is. Now hold it. The earth is ground, and that's the gray matter.
Yes.
Okay, so the earth is not the mind. The earth is the gray matter.
Well, what is gray matter if it's not the mind?
I don't know.
Gray matter's fat. It's earth. It's dirt. It's grass.
Okay.
It's what you lay conduit into. That's your mind. That's your mind. And in your mind, in your dirt, in your earth, you lay pipe. And the pipe is conduit.
So there's a difference between mind and thought?
Certainly, we said that. No more is the earth the water that's in the pipe as the water is the earth that's in the pipe. That's why things go through your mind.
Did you hear
that's
that?
That's why water runs through the dirt.
Yeah, you just said the thought twice there, right? 30 seconds ago.
Well, the thought is not the gray matter.
Okay, so we look around. You got the ground. You got the water.
Yeah, you got pipe.
What is the pipeless metaphor?
It's not a metaphor. It's an example, so you can understand.
So the mind is the ground. The pipes.
Conduit.
Pipes are conduit. And the water going through is thought.
Yes.
So you do have stone, Joyce, James Joyce, stone and water. Stone would be ground, water would be the thought, and the pipe is something else. Maybe the mediums are pipes.
No.
You got a book as a pipe. That's how thought travels. You got electricity is another way thought travels. That's his social technology. Okay, so back to this, the gray matter is the mind. The pipe is the conduit. The water is the thought. Now, it's called Labyrinth of the Mind. You see, you're putting the word mind for one-third of the setup, but it usually refers to a whole setup. And mind is only one-third of the situation. Mind is gray matter. Is there another way to explain what mind is if it's not thought?
Fat.
It's fat. It's physical. It's the physical part.
Sure.
Okay, so the yolk is yellow. It's physical. That's the mind. And then the shell is the soul. That would be the pipe. And the thought, I don't know what that would be. It doesn't fit to the chicken.
Well, the chicken is the physical.
No, non-physical in this chart. The chicken is the non-physical.
Okay.
Yolk is the physical. But that doesn't work. So you have the mind.
They're interchangeable, really.
So all this mind, the pipe, the water, the ground, is created by humans in the physical as a regulator.
As a holding station, a holding place. The mind is a hard drive.
It's a holding place. It's a reservoir, an archive, a container.
It's a place to lay random access memory.
And that would be conduits?
Inside the conduits, yes.
Memories inside the conduits. Is memory thought?
No, memory would be past tense thought. You can't have a memory until you have it.
So thought is a product of life in the physical.
Well, sort of, kind of. See, you can have a thought outside of life in the physical.
Where would you be to do that?
Well, anything that comes into your experience that was never.
No, would you be in the non-physical? No thought in non-physical, though the unmanifested thought goes into the non-physical and to the guff. So this thought thing is pretty hard to get a handle on.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we define what thought is?
Thought is the impulse that allows interaction from the physical, that's where it comes from, tapping through the non-physical, which allows it to be created. See, your non-physical provides ever-clear and present help to the physical's level or degree of creation. Your wish is my command. Non-physical can help you do everything it can do. It just does not create. You have to create.
So thought is in the realm of the created.
Yes, created, past tense, good. That's correct. And that's what all that's required for a creation to be made manifest is a thought. A thought, not millions, one.
And that's all in the physical.
That is correct. But non-physical helps get the stuff moving so it can come from a thought into your physical manifested.
Now that's sense. It's thought, the non-physical gets it moving so it can get it from the something.
It helps. It helps keep it flowing.
Yeah, but go into that sentence. That was interesting. Thought, non-physical helps thought come from someplace?
No. Non-physical provides help for the physical to get a thought from a thought to a manifestation.
The non-physical helps physical get a thought. What the heck is this thought zone? It's a technical effect.
Well, it's not so technical. It's just actually a very simple effect. Could we say it's the yolk that gets you a chicken?
Yeah, yeah.
If you could buy that one for a dollar, okay.
Well, give me the technical talk about that.
Okay. Thought, inside your fat, inside your fat head, you've laid a bunch of pipes. And you lay these pipes so you can get water or thoughts to different places in your fat. The stuff, the juice that's going through the pipe, which is thought, comes from physical. But the thought that gets entertained by physical, you have a help. And the help is non-physical. Non-physical helps keep the thoughts thin enough so they can freely flow through the pipes, so they can come out the other end as a manifested creation. That way, then non-physical has very little to do with the process of creation because non-physical can't create. But it certainly can keep the juices flowing so you can manifest a creation in your reality.
How does non-physical aid in keeping the juices flowing?
Keeps it thin enough so it'll flow.
But how does non-physical touch the physical to do that?
Because it's a part of the process of thought. It is not thought, but it helps the thoughts flow because everything that does not get out of the pipe when you croak, the unrealized creations, non-physical then takes that juice and takes it to the guff.
You have the physical and you have gradations of density. You have the hard ground and then you get the ethereal thought, hard to touch it. The thought is close. It's the closest part of physical, by its very ephemeralness, to non-physical.
It's sometimes the connector, yes.
Within the physical, you have to have the whole range of realities of all worlds in the physical.
All the kingdoms.
All the spectrum, yeah. All the spectrum is in, like a microcosm, like a hologram. So you have, if you think of where the physical, and then you go through transition and go to the guff. You imagine the guff is not so physical. Well, we got that metaphor right here in the physical where you go from hard matter to the thinness of thought.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You have the physical and non-physical. It's kind of like a duality. Then within the physical, you have a duality between the physical and the mind.
Whoa. Easy now. You're saying you have physical and non-physical is a duality? No. You have duality in your physical. You have duality in your non-physical. But the duality in your non-physical is actually one-ality because it interacts with the duality of the individual human creator. That's why you have two in the outer kingdom, two in the inner kingdom, and two in the now. But there's only one non-physical. That one non-physical is why we say
one duality of non-physical?
Yes, in all the different kingdoms.
You said the non-physical is a duality, but it tends to become one-ality.
Non-physical is a one-ality, but the duality within the one-ality, there's only one non-physical period. But each individual human creator has duality, and then the duality engages with the one-ality of non-physical. But in non-physical, in the one-ality of the one non-physical, there is the duality of relax and allow. And then the individual human creator has two choices, or both of those, within their kingdoms to apply relax and allow. That's the two-partness of non-physical, that's all.
The one-ality of non-physical.
There's only one non-physical, so there's not duality in non-physical.
But you did say there earlier there was a duality in non-physical.
There is, and the only duality in non-physical
is a result of the interaction with the individual.
And that's in relax and allow. Good.
Relax and allow is the duality in non-physical?
It's a duality of one-ality non-physical.
There was this phrase McClellan used, hendiades. It meant one by means of two.
Perfect. Let this little tumor-ridden, double carotid arteried heart.
Very. Okay, that's good. Let's end on that. That's a surprising ending to our session.
Very, very good. Very good. We do enjoy and love playing with you, best of all. Many come and many go, but you're our favorite to play with. Oh, besides Carolyn. But after Carolyn, you're right up there. It's way good. So.
Well, what makes Carolyn so cuddly or neat?
The dynamic of her compassion and her not caring.
Right.
She doesn't really care, but she cares. And you don't care, but you really do care.
That's the same as Carolyn.
No. Carolyn doesn't care in real life, but she gives off the feeling of compassion,
okay,
of caring and engaging until she finally gets somewhere. But wherever she gets, she doesn't care. You, on the other hand, don't care which way it goes, which way the wind blows, but at the end of the day, you really do care which way it goes.
And she basically is more non-caring than me.
Well, except for she really cares. She is caring, but she doesn't care what she cares about.
Whereas I care what I care about.
Well, you don't care at all, except for that you do care. You're not compassionate in the outset of how you come across, but you are very compassionate in the intensity of caring to know what the real deal is.
She doesn't have that.
Hers is broader, yours is more focused.
No, but she doesn't care. I don't care.
No, don't now. She doesn't really care, but she's very, very caring, meaning to have conversation, she would listen to you, engage you, get every dynamic, be very interested, get everything. But when she gets all that, then she doesn't care that she got it. You act like you don't care. No, you said that. Now, what does that word mean? What is it?
Yeah, I act like I don't care, but in the end, I do care whether
really,
I got it.
Really, really care. If you hit something that's functioning, that hits the mark, then you're like, yes.
Carolyn doesn't get that feeling.
Correct, because that's when you say, all right, Carolyn, you got it, right? Yes, Bob, okay, what'd you get? Well, I don't know.
Okay, that's interesting.
Then it works great because the storyline, the big picture, Carolyn gets every single time. Bam, the big picture. But you're not interested in the big picture. You want the finitest detail of every dynamic of is in that figuring it out so I never have to do it again.
Whereas she doesn't care if she has to do it again.
Correct. She's perfectly happy to, and gets a great deal out of it because then it becomes a multi-dynamic experience that's not limiting. But you miss the focus of the minutest detail, which you're going to get the pronouns, or you're not going to play. She doesn't care about the pronouns. It all works.
You were going there, and then you bottled up the word order, which is what you're saying.
See?
I do.
Which is what we're saying you do. Good.
Yeah, she gets the big picture.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't care. You want the little picture.
So I can get to the big picture and care, and I care about getting to it.
You do. That's the whole point of doing it, is to get to the big picture.
How come she's indifferent to getting it?
Because she wants the storyline. She can do the larger, fuller dynamic.
She's more into the doing of it. And
right.
I'm more into just contemplating from the static
theory.
Position.
The theory.
I want to see it rather than do it. And that way I'm kind of lazy, where she doesn't mind using her body.
She likes to be busy.
That's what we're talking about. I don't like to be busy too much.
But yeah, you're very busy.
Yeah, but she likes to be physically busy.
Right.
I don't require that kind of busyness. I'm very
right.
busy inside.
And they're both complete. I mean, she's as complete as you are, and you're as complete as she is. But they're very, 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 very different completeness.
Yeah, they're exactly opposite and complementary.
When we're flowing through it, she gets the larger dynamic of Ion, and you get the illicit, minutest details of Ion.
So she gets the importance of Ion coming through.
The fullness.
And I'm still working on whether it's important or not.
No, you're still whittling down the exact precise of which one is the pipe, what goes through the pipe, where is the pipe,
yeah,
how does it come across your mind. What is your mind? How does non-physical fit into the mind? And what does that have to do with the physical? And she'd been to bed a long time ago, because she's like, Bob, the mind is the gray matter. You lay the conduit in the mind. What goes through the mind is thought. You run the pipe where you want it to go in your mind, and you store it there so that then you can recall it, and that's called a memory. And then once you have the stuff running through the conduit in the pipe or the fat of your mind, if something squirts out, that's called a creation, a manifestation. Well, once it's manifested, then it is. But if you croak before you get it out of the pipes in your mind, then non-physical drags that fluid, those thoughts, back to the guff as unrealized creations, because every drop of thought that ever has been still is. It either has to hang around in the pipe till it gets manifested, or it gets drugged back to the guff to where it increases the guff itself. So non-physical would then be the specific essence of thought.
Now
that's specific enough for you, isn't it?
She gets the big picture. I get the importance of Ion, but I like relating it to other images. The memory's in the gray matter, right? The memory's in the fat, right?
In the conduit.
No, that's the water of thought going through.
Well, it is, but how do you have a memory if it's not a thought?
So memory's part of thought world.
Yeah.
I thought you said it was stored. The memory was stored in the gray
matter. It is stored. That's why you put the pipe in the ground to store it in the ground.
Oh, the pipes are storage, right. The pipes are storage.
And you're running conduit constantly, and you're working very, very diligently laying this pipe, and so far of your mind, the fat, you're using 5 to maybe 9% of your capacity of random access memory. Now, when you get to the larger states of that, then teleportation, telekinesis, all the gifts of the spirit, then you have conduit laid in your mind that allows all, and we would say those possibilities, but we like it better just to say it allows all to instantly be available to you. You can go to different worlds, you can float in the air, you can sit and talk to people dead or otherwise, you don't have to have telephones, you don't have to have lucky boxes, you can know everything that is, you can have everything that you want, when you want it, as you want it, how you want it. And you never have to ask how, because you will have it. How do I will never be in your vernacular, because you'll have it.
Is the conduits the rules of the mind?
Nope.
Where's the rules of the mind fit into the structure of the gray matter pipe and thought?
The physical strolls through the labyrinth. And those are the center, the precursor of the rules.
You said the physical strolls through the
labyrinth of the mind.
And then you said those.
As the human strolls through the labyrinth of the mind, it sets the
Oh, the rules come from the physical's dialogue with the non-physical, with the mind. I see.
Right. And how the physical does that is it because it activates a thought that gets manifested as a rule, so that it has to make another wall or block within the labyrinth.
Hold it. That sounded great, but I missed it.
The physical, as it strolls through the labyrinth of the mind, the physical ushers a thought in the form of a rule. And when it does that, then, of course, you're now putting a thought through the conduit that is manifested, comes into your physical in the form of a rule. And when that is then created as a manifestation, what that does then is it puts another block or another wall in the labyrinth of the mind that will not allow clear, simple, easy, cohesive passage through the labyrinth of the mind. Little fellas that are just born don't have a complicated labyrinth. Old fogies that have been fussing and worrying about things for 40 to 60 years have a very vast labyrinth.
So you're saying every manifestation from thought is a rule?
We said that is how rules are, where they come from. We didn't say that every manifestation that's created is a rule. It's not. How is the human physical meat sack body creates a thought?
The how is physical body creates a thought.
Yeah.
The how is that process of how the physical creates the thought.
Yeah.
And it does it by strolling through the mind.
No. It creates a thought. Period. Human body creates a thought. And that puts the juice in the pipe that heads to the brain.
How does the physical create a thought?
That's how physical creates. The mind doesn't create. Non-physical doesn't create. What's left to create if it's not the physical, Bob?
If the physical creates a thought, then thought is very aligned with the physical.
Absolutely.
But it's the ethereal version of the non-physical. It's flighty. You can't see thought.
What do you mean you can't
see? Well, you have the physical in relation to the gradation, seven levels of heaven up to the guff. Up to thought.
Yes, but everything that's made manifest in your reality comes from thought. So you can see thought. You look at your looky box and that's thought.
The looky box itself is thought.
It is a thought.
The chair is a thought.
It is a thought, a manifested thought.
And the rules were not the chair. The rules were...
Here we go. The chair is a chair. Okay. Now you're a human creator. You get to then consider, meaning draw from your physical a thought. And here's a potential thought.
No, I think when you begin saying a chair, we have to say, how did the chair get there?
By thought.
Happened by thought. Interaction of thought with physical hands that made the chair.
No, it was just a thought that became manifested in your reality.
I could see a chair from the future sitting here. Thought created that if I allowed it to happen.
That's correct. Good. Perfect. Good.
So a lot of physicality is thought.
All physicality is manifested thought.
Is that where the three kingdoms come in? That interplay?
Yes. But now, wait. We want to clean this thing up about rules. Okay? A created chair is. Your physical ushers a thought. Okay. You look at that chair, and then you have a thought. You go, gosh, that looks very comfortable. Then you may have a thought, gosh, you know, I'm a pretty big fella. I may break that chair. It looks pretty dainty. I don't know if the legs would hold me up. I'm a little concerned about that. That chair is very beautiful, but it doesn't look very stable or secure. Okay, that's a thought. Well, guess what that thought is, Bob? That makes a rule. And that rule then goes as manifested rule, then makes a block in the labyrinth of your mind that says, I will break that chair, or I will get hurt, or that chair won't be comfortable. But now duality can say, I don't care if I break the damn chair. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm going to go get in that chair. I'm going to try it out. I know I might have a little fear, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, then that's the removing of a wall in the labyrinth of your mind as a rule. And it makes your enjoyment of it sitting in that chair a manifested reality in your world. But that same thought can make a rule that will not allow the comfort and joy of that chair in your reality. Now, that chair could just as easily be money, couldn't it?
So rules are manifestations.
Yes, they are.
Thoughts are manifestations. Rules are...
No. Thoughts can be manifested, but they don't have to be.
Rules are what's manifested.
If it's a rule. But yeah. It could stay as a thought, and you could think about whether or not to engage in that chair or not.
That's a rule?
No. That's a thought.
So rules tends to be more on the manifested level.
Yes. Because once it becomes a rule, then you will get hurt if you sit in that chair because of the rule that you manifested.
All these details we're working out here, Carolyn wouldn't be interested in them.
No. She likes the bigger picture of the earth, the conduit, and the thought, and it comes out. And what is what's created. And then the rules that you make are just that. So if you don't make the rules, you have an easier time, and you can enjoy many, many things, and life is good.
She applies that.
And understands it and can explain it. You want to know which thought can activate fear in a manifested reality regarding a chair that's already been created.
And she just accepts her fear.
Or spends her day not making rules about sitting in a chair and just go jump in the chair and say, I like his chair.
Well, that would be not fearing it.
Well, that's correct. But you want to know where the essence of fear comes from.
Yeah, like someone comes in and lays a pile of money, gold at my feet, and Carolyn's feet, Carolyn would take it and spend it. I'm there figuring, how the hell did this get here? And I stay arguing about how it got there.
Absolutely. And want to know every rampant detail.
Right. Now, that's allowing.
It could make a rule. No.
No, listen. It's allowing is thinking. I spend my time thinking about things. Therefore, don't get into action too much. I don't do much action.
I know, but allowing is not thinking.
Oh, it is in the definition. That's in the Relax and Allow tape. One of the definitions of allow is thinking.
Thinking what, Bob?
Yeah, no, then we'll get into the difference, but just on the surface.
The thought. Because, see, you're saying thinking is thought, and thought is not thinking. The thoughts don't think.
Who does the thinking?
The human physical meat sack thinks.
The rule maker thinks.
Thinks. And what does it think? It thinks thoughts.
And tends to make them rules.
Well, can, but doesn't have to. But many times it is. It's gauging, because it's gauging. That's great. But you see how we cleaned up the difference between a rule that is manifested and an opportunity that is also manifested that, with the help of non-physical, can allow and relax that to be engaged. And that the end outcome at the end of the day can work out perfectly for you in your physical. Because your non-physical don't care and your mind don't know the difference. Because you can change your mind.
Okay, no, you've gone too far. You lost the rhythm there, so.
Well, but see, this is where Carolyn would go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Good.
And,
that's the difference. That's good.
I'm saying that my sitting around thinking about how the goal got there.
Mm-hmm.
Means I don't go spend it. I don't act on it.
You don't allow it in your reality.
And that remains me in the nowhere state, which allows a lot more.
Nope, it does not. It could, but it may not. It might make a rule where you'd be suspect of this goal and where it came
from. No, I don't form rules. I dance around. If I make a rule, I'll have that for a couple of minutes. Nah, heck with that rule. I'm saying my action of thought is my way of involving the big picture.
Maybe.
I think it.
Good. That thinking, that thing you do, you think, that's what your physical does. And then once it becomes a thought, then it becomes manifested, then it becomes into your reality that you relax, allow, and enjoy.
I accept the rules I make.
But you just said you don't make rules.
But I temporarily relax and allow on the rules I impose on myself.
Okay. And that's a whole other process. That's a to completion, and you just so happen to be able to do that pretty quickly. But others see it would confound them, because once they make a rule, then it's a rule eternally, and then it's a mess. And then they get happy, and then they speak things that they don't mean, that they then make a thought that gets manifested, and then they got money coming to them, but money leaving faster than it's coming to them, and then they want more money, so then they get it going so fast that they can't keep up with it, and then they're miserable because they have too much money, and you see how this sort of rabbit hole process gets kicking. It doesn't take much to confound a fat pile of sorter. For example, with your computer, as an example, you can freeze your hard drive. You can overload it and have to hit Control-Alt-Delete to wipe it out, to get it rebooted. You know, when you reboot it, sometimes you have to reboot it because you're just putting so much in there, you can't make sense out of none of it. That's what happens sometimes.
I'm thinking as you say this, I'm a very confusing person if you engage with me.
No, you're actually very clear because you're so open. It's not confusing, it's just open.
Yeah, my vibe, my demeanor, my emanation is relaxing to people or opening, but then when they get into a conversation, I'll confuse the hell out of them.
Because you want it clear. If you're going to have thought regarding a conversation, you want it to be clear so you don't have to fiddle with any rules or messes. That's why you don't like dirty people coming in your house. Because if dirty people come in your house, that means that you've got a rule that says, I got to clean this up. So I just seen leave you and your dirt out of my house.
Yeah, so I don't have to deal with this rule.
Right. It already is the rule, but you're trying to not have to activate
the
rule.
Yeah, yeah. So I create rules, but I move around them, don't allow them to be activated.
So, come in. I'm so glad to see you. Come right here. Here's the sink. Wash your hands.
What's the formatting part? How do you fit the formatting that I do in there?
Now, when you format it, just like if you format a disk, you prepare the disk for what the information that's going to come. When you format in your mind, you prepare. You prepare.
So is that my rulemaking, the formatting?
Yep. You format it to see how it's going to come out. And can you get
that? Yeah, I make a rule. The formatting makes a rule, and then I make sure I don't have to deal with it.
That's a strong word. It's correct. It's absolutely correct. But in the dynamic of this recording, we don't want to say it's a rule that that's a bad thing. Rules are what keep you out of the fire. That's a good thing.
Well, that's where I sort of sum up. I'm lazy. I make rules, make formats, but don't activate them.
Then you don't even have to wonder whether or not you eat asparagus. You can just ask Carolyn, do we eat asparagus? Yes, Bob. Okay, I'm good. Carolyn says I eat asparagus. Oh, we eat asparagus. Okay. And you'd eat the hound out of it, even if you didn't like it.
So my my format is in food is to check with Carolyn.
Correct.
So I don't have to make rules and worry about the rules.
And wonder, am I eating too much? Is it not enough? Is this
That's where it sounds lazy. That sounds lazy to me.
But it's
relaxing and allowing.
It is indeed, and that is exactly correct. Now, the rule is you have to run it by Carolyn. Is there a problem with that? No. But what if you're in a situation where she's in Los Angeles and you're in Maui and you can't reach her, then you find something in the meat box that you might eat or might not eat, and then all of a sudden now you're like, well, I don't know if we eat that, or I don't know. So it lays there until you're out of carrots and down to the only other thing where you might have to actually go past the rule and sit in the chair, whether you want to or not, because you're hungry. You see, that's the problem, if there is a problem, because it's not a problem, because you got the whole wide world worried about your nutrition. You got Barbara Ann wanting to go get food. You got JW's wife trying to get white sugar shipped over to you so you can keep sustenance to get back. Because that whole drawing of your non-physical, other people's non-physical, are drawn as if Bob can't even feed himself. We're going to have to do something to give him a little nutrition. Carolyn should have made up something or something. Well, she did, and she did, and she did. You've got 1,000 pounds of food. But you can't eat that because your rule is you only eat one thing at a time, and you can't eat nothing else till them damn carrots are gone. And the problem is you put 20 pounds of carrots in there for you to eat.